Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pixelated Perfect Podcast. I am super excited. I have with me Pochi. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
I'm super excited to talk to you. So to give everyone a little intro about Pochi, she is a super talented product designer based in Buenos Aires. She's really into the research, discovery, and innovation of design. She has a very cheerful personality, and she really likes everything to be super fun, makes everything fun. She also does a lot of creating training sessions for interviews, and she loves to lead workshops. So I'm excited to talk to her a little bit about that. Also, she's a super curious person. So Pochi's always kind of changing jobs and challenging herself. That's also a big topic that I think everyone's going to find super valuable. So excited you're here. Let's kind of kick it off. So I'm going to start with a pretty broad question for you. So what does being a designer mean to you?
Oh my God, that's a really good question. Because it means so much. And for every one of us, maybe it means something different. I really believe that every one of us design ourselves every time we look at the mirror and we choose where we want to wear or make a decision. So basically, designing is making decisions. That's why, basically, for me, we are all designing something. Then I have this point of view that in a working environment, the one who makes the design, mostly are in relationship with or have the point of view or something static, something that is visual. I'm the kind of designer that tries to focus in the strategy and what people will think and what is going to work. And it's not only a screen, it's also a process. Designing processes, designing roles, designing the way we interact with each other is part of UX process for me, at least, the kind of role that I'm into. And then I design screens. Not that I don't, it's just a whole process. We are going to start asking questions and try to understand what's happening, try to understand what will work, what we want as a team, and then what we want as a business, and then what the user wants. So there are a lot of questions inside of that. And for me, design is all that process. I'm not only in charge of the design. My coworkers are also in charge of design. Does that make sense?
Yes, I love it. Breaking down that whole question. So many, many thoughts while you were saying it. The first one is, I love how you basically said design is making decisions. And like, we all are designers, right? If you think about it, like to your clothes, to, I had another podcast and we were chatting about once you open yourself up to design, design is obviously everywhere. And once you like open up to your mind, it's like everything you see from a billboard to a menu to any app you're using, like it's just surrounding us 24/7. And so we all are making those conscious decisions of how to interact with design. And so I love that. That's like it's a everywhere. Very good broad. Yes, it's broad. It's everywhere. Everyone is essentially a designer. It's so true. And then kind of breaking out in the work environment, I think that a lot of more junior designers, and I would love your opinion on this, is like they come into design and they don't necessarily think about it from maybe a strategy side or a business perspective. And so I love how you define design and is process. It's like every step to get you to that screen. It's not just what that screen looks like. It's everything involved in that. And there's a lot involved to get you to that endpoint that so many people don't even realize is part of design.
Yes, I think that's a really fun part of my job that is not only think of the output, that maybe the output is the screen, but the outcome is what we as a team are expecting from that. So a screen, maybe it's just a screen with input and a button or something, but then it makes a login or a purchase or it means something. So it's not only a screen, it's never only a screen.
Right, it's like what is What is the problem you're solving? Before you get into the solution of designing a screen, you first have to understand what it is you're trying to do there. So yeah, like you said, purchase, like what is the end goal of the user? Where are they going after that screen? Where are they coming from? All those things are so, so important to like the product design process.
And that's why when I used to interview people to be my co-workers or work with me, one of the things that I really love to do is ask questions and let them ask questions. Because for me, it's most important, the most important thing is how you think, how your mind is wired. I really feel that being a designer is not being, I don't know, designing an ad or designing a sofa, or it's the way you think. And yes. Then you do things.
Yes, yes, totally.
The most important part.
Yeah. So I wanna kind of break this down a little bit, kind of you talking about process and everything, is like when you approach a new project, what is that process for you, and how do you work with your coworkers, which you've mentioned a couple times are like a big part of it? So like, I know this is a very broad question, but maybe like high level, like what do you do? How do you approach something like that?
It's a really good question because it's something that we are scared of. The beginning is so scary.
Yes.
Oh my God, what I should do with this? I learned, I think, last year, I think. It's not a really old knowledge. That every project and every company has their maturity level. And that's something that you should understand. I can ask my coworkers in a really small startup that, I don't know, make the whole process of design, research, metrics, and everything. Calm down, this is not necessary right now. So the main thing that I try to understand is what do we need at this moment? Because maybe it's a really small thing. Maybe it's just a screen to someone put some values and that's it. Here's your URL, use it. And then tell me if this is working, if you need more. Everything is a process, so you can, like Scrum tells us, you can go part by part, giving value in a really short term and a really like small way. You don't have to go all the way, always.
Yes, I think that's so true. Yeah, sorry, keep going. I love it. Keep going.
The main thing for me is understand what we need right now. Then, because I'm a really intense human being, I will design everything, and I'm always going to try to have the north in my head. The whole picture is in my head. I need to have that because it's where we are going. But I'm not going to ask you as a business person, as a product person, as a developer, that we are going to do. I have that because I need to understand the strategy. But then I'm going to ask you, just do this part. Then we are going to see what comes next. But this part is important right now. Right. It's not the best design I have ever made. No. But it doesn't matter. It's right. Not needed.
Yes, totally. I think that a lot of times when you approach a new project, you do think you have to have like the full picture, the whole picture. And there's a lot of like tension that comes from designers feeling like they need that, because maybe the stakeholders don't know that. Like you say, maybe it's something like starting small and just asking those little questions. Like if you're trying to ask a huge, big question, solve this huge problem, people are going to be confused and you're not going to get what you need out of them. And then you're going to blame them. They're going to blame you. You're going to end up building something that doesn't make sense. And so I love how you're like, in your head, you're part, you have to pick up that information for yourself, but you know that if you approach that conversation with your stakeholders or the developers or whoever, they're not going to be able to give you that information. And so you recognize that. So you ask the questions you need to ask. And that's how you're going to get to a result that's going to get you further. So then you do that little piece and then you do another piece and then like slowly it'll come together and it'll like form, and Scrum and Agile, you'll move quickly and pivot and all the things that go along with kind of process in general.
Things take time. And that's the thing that I am a really anxious person. So that's a really hard thing to understand. Things take time, and that's okay.
Yes.
I don't remember who told me this, but a white frame or a scream or a flow in my process is an invitation to chat. So whenever I enter a call, a meeting with my coworkers, I show things. I try to show materialize things because that's the way I communicate. And that's the way I invite them in so they can explain to me if I'm understanding correctly, if that's what we are thinking. And sometimes when you are in the UI phase, when you are only working the interface, the way it looks, it's really exhausting to have that kind of feedback, like, oh, I don't like this color.
Yes.
I don't care if you don't like this color. Tell me if this works.
So yes.
It's really frustrating sometimes when you have that kind of feedback because I really need to understand if this is what you need.
Yes.
Is this what you need? Then we talk about the color. Don't worry about it.
Right.
This is what we need. Like, let's talk the really things that we need to talk. That's one of the main things that I really like to do. Invite people in. For me, I'm the only designer right now in my company. So being able to share my work and to invite people in the process and understanding what the user needs, the client needs, we need, is really important because
yeah.
It's a startup. Everything is happening so fast.
Right.
And it's like, why are we doing this? Someone remembers it? Why are we doing this?
Right.
That's part of our job. Keep the team focused. Like, we need this. Remember? This thing right here. That's what we are doing.
Right. It's like, our job is like we're facilitators, right? Like, I love that you said that it's like an invitation to chat. You show people at every stage so that they can give their opinions and feedback and you're collaborating together and you're able to facilitate that because it's almost like you're manipulating them in a way where you're asking, you need feedback on something specific. So you're presenting it to make sure that that's the feedback you're getting. You're asking the questions to get the feedback that you need at that stage.
Yeah.
And that's our job.
That's also a really important thing that I need feedback in a different stages of the process is different feedback.
Right.
Maybe if you really need to understand if the color is right, for example, we are going to be talking to our final users. We are going to make tests or something like that. I don't know if this is the right way to ask a developer if the color is right.
Right.
The developer is going to give me a different kind of feedback if I'm able to use this API for what I need. It's a different kind of feedback. I'm not saying that I don't trust the developer that is going to tell me, I don't like this color. I have that under account because we are all users.
Right.
Of course, I'm going to listen to you, but I'm not going to change the color until I have evidence from the final user.
Yes.
So it's different kind of feedback that are all viable, but in different stages and in different ways.
Yes, yes, 1000%. I think this is like a great conversation for designers that sometimes are like, I don't know where to start, which is where this conversation started. And like, I don't know how to make sure that I'm getting the feedback I need or that I'm presenting things at the right stage. And so I hope that this conversation is like helpful for people like that. They're like, oh, sometimes I feel stuck or I feel like I'm not getting what I need or I'm thinking too big picture and I'm not getting the answers I need. So I love everything you said. Love, love, love. So I have a question kind of pivoting a little bit, but something you said kind of sparked this is you were like, things take a long time. And us as humans, especially in 2023, everything's supposed to be quick. We move fast. Like that's our expectation of the world. Like we can't just sit here in silence. We always have to be doing 10,000 things. And so I think that's interesting. It's like things do take time. And knowing a little bit about you and this, like, your career and how you kind of keep jumping and moving around. How do those two things kind of mesh together as far as knowing things take time and you having this need to, like, explore and learn new things and jump to new experiences?
That's a really good question, and it has to do with so many things. I'm really reckless, I guess that's the word. I used to live in La Plata, the city I was born, where my whole family is. Then I moved to Mar del Plata. There is a city that is, I think, a few miles away. Then I moved back to La Plata, and now I'm living in Capital. So I moved not only from job, I move a lot. Like, yes. That's my thing. I'm moving, always moving. Every time that I make that kind of decision, it has to do with, I just feel that. It's a really strange thing to say, but I feel I need to do this. Mm-hmm. And I go and do it. With the jobs that I had, I think the pandemic has a lot to do with that. Because it was a really dull good time.
Right.
I really struggled with the feeling of being comfortable, with feeling engaged with what I was doing. That's what happened. When I entered a company, I immediately knew that it wasn't a good idea.
Yeah.
And I was trying to feel that, yes, I really want to be here.
Right.
That's a really difficult thing to have so clearly. I have that image that see.
Right.
It's like something in my head that see. Yes, this is it.
Yeah.
I have this really specific role that I'm really strategic, but I really like also get involved with how the things are done, and it's a really wide role. And sometimes people only ask for us the screens. Give
right.
me the screens that we need. And I was like a problem for them because you are asking a lot of questions and I don't know.
Right.
And I don't know the answers. Just give me the screens. And I'm
right.
not that kind of person that just works because I'm going to
right.
give you this. I don't work well with that. I need to understand
right.
what I'm doing and why. I also felt I used to work in software factories, in consultancy mostly, and then I started working in product. Now I'm a product design, and that was a really huge change.
Yeah.
Because now I'm really in the whole process, and I know everything, and I understand things in a really different point of view. That made me understand so many things. I really like consultancy. I really like being able to help in a really short way, because you can work in a different how can you say it, in banking, in clothing, health, in different things. I really miss that part of my job, but the way you get engaged when you are in a product and everything depends on you, it's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
I think to feel that responsibility, at least in my case, I really need to feel comfortable in the way I work and with the people I work. And
mm-hmm.
I get that, I don't know, in Prometeo, that is my company nowadays, I'm really comfortable with them. It's like, we laugh, we get drunk a lot. make jokes all the time is people that I really trust, because it's really comfortable.
Yeah.
And that kind of relationship is not easy to have. I work remotely. I'm in Argentina, and most of them are in Uruguay. And even so, we have this, es como confianza, we have this trust.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult to have that. And many of the companies that I used to work, they weren't my people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like when you know you found the right job, it's like that culture fit. It's like feeling that comfort, feeling like you can go in and have those conversations, joke, however, whatever is important to you. I guess like in general, whatever is important to you, you need to make sure you find that in the company you're in. It's like find that culture fit for you, because it's so, so, so important. So would you say like for you, a big piece of it is culture, but also you just like have this feeling and this knowing when it's like time to move on or when you need to experience something else?
Yes. I really, it's a clear image in my head and in my gut. It's like, okay, this is time to move on. Time to be in, I don't know, another place.
Yes.
I think it also has to do with I grew a lot lately. First of all, I need to say this. Being a woman in this world is a whole thing. So for me, it's really important to feel respect, to feel comfortable. That's a really huge thing for me. So if I'm not comfortable being a woman, I'm bisexual also. So that's another topic. That is
right.
The key to be community for me is really important. So it's my struggle. Nosotros decimos nuestra lucha en español. It's my struggle. For me, it's really important to be who I am.
Yes.
And work with everything, with all this.
Yeah, like I think you have to know it's like you know yourself, you know what you're looking for, you know who you are, and you're not willing to change or be anyone else. So you have to find an environment, and the environment has to find you that makes sense. And I love that. And I think all of us, I mean, especially women, as a woman too, it's like finding that is super, super important. It's key to feeling, I mean, to everything in every, not even in a work environment, like feeling comfortable, finding people, finding places, whatever it is that like you feel comfortable and safe and you feel like you can be yourself. I think that's like a great lesson, especially for like people maybe out of school or looking to get into their first job or any of that stuff. It's like, don't change yourself to fit into something else, because you're never going to be happy. Like, know who you are, find out who you are, and find the people in the environments that make you your best version of yourself, I guess.
Exactly that. That's a huge insight of life.
Totally, totally. It's like the older we get, the more like comfortable, the more experiences, and the more like, I wish I could go to like young me and say like, hey, like, don't do this thing because you think you're supposed to, like, or don't feel like you have to change yourself to fit in. I think we all probably have that like moment of like looking at our younger selves and feeling that way at some point.
Yes, that you help ourselves in the past.
Yes, yes, exactly.
But I don't regret nothing. I don't regret, because I learned so much. I don't regret every job I had. I learn a lot from every mistake. I learn, so that's why I don't feel that, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
Right. That's well said. You wouldn't know if you didn't have those experiences. I feel like failure or like negative things that have happened in your life, like have made you who you are. And yeah, like, I don't think changing those things would ever be something to do. It's like to learn from it or to understand what doesn't work for you or what does work for you.
Well, that's a really good thing that I learned in this past month, I guess. Whatever you are working, you shouldn't feel scared of failure. Because it
yes.
won't work. No one is perfect. Well, this is a really important part for me. I studied improv. Improvisation, like theater.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I learned a lot from my teacher and from my team. They are the best. And one of the things that I kept from that is that don't be afraid of failure. And Gabrielle, my teacher, always says, everything that your coworker or your friend is and does is a gift. So treat them as such. And that's yeah. so cute and that's so amazing that I try to do that. I yeah. go to improv and we play and we make a lot of things that is incredible. But then I try to apply all that in my everyday life. Don't be afraid. I improvise a lot in my everyday life. And before you give me so like this anxious thing that everything is going to blow up at yes. some point.
Yes.
And I love that. I let that feeling go and it's more fun. It's healthier. And I think things get better with that point of view, that everything will be all right. I think your mind works differently when you feel better. So if I'm not afraid of failure, I won't fail. It's
right, exactly. Yeah, it's all a mindset. I think that's really powerful what you said. It's like, if you don't think of it as failure, if you think of it as a learning experience, or like you don't have these expectations of what you should be doing, everything's more fun and easy and you feel more comfortable making those mistakes or however you want to define them.
And this is one of the things I learn a lot with the improvisation and with that feeling of, it's not liberty, but I feel like lighter, like everything, I don't know, nothing is so terrible.
I feel like improv was like therapy for you. It feels like there are so many amazing takeaways you got from improv.
Yes, I do. One of the things that we have to understand when we are practicing, you don't have to say no to your team, to your teammates, and you need to have this mood, like always accepting. And that's the thing we don't usually do. We don't have that thing.
Right.
Most of the time when you are having a conversation with someone, the word no is a really normal thing to say no to things. Or maybe someone is telling you a joke or someone is saying something and the first word that you said is no, porque, and why you are saying no?
Right.
That's, you need to say that.
Because it just automatically makes it negative. It's like turns it into like a hard line or something.
And also one thing that you have to have under consideration when you are acting is that everything that is happening is the truth. But maybe you are acting a scene like we are aliens and we are, I don't know, eating people. And that's the scene that you are playing. And when you are doing that, that's completely true.
Right.
That's it. You are eating people because you are aliens.
Yes.
And someone else approaches and that person have to understand that everything is happening is true. You don't doubt. It's like, we are aliens. Let's go.
Yes. You're aliens eating people. That's it. Take it. There's nothing you can do about it. It's real.
Join. Join us and let your ego go.
Yes. Yes. So what do you think is like, I mean, we just talked about a lot of awesome things from improv, like life skills, how to like be the best version of ourselves. How can we apply that to our everyday jobs? I think a lot of what you said, we've already kind of talked about how it applies, but like, I don't know, I guess this idea of going into something and accepting it's true, like you were just saying, like we're aliens eating people. I think that's interesting to think about in our careers and maybe our work environments. Like, what are your thoughts on how you could take that concept and apply it to maybe a tough conversation with a stakeholder or like a disagreement with developers?
In your everyday job, you always encounter issues or problems, and you need to fix them or find a solution in a really, in the best way possible, but really quickly. And for me, improv helped me with that.
Yeah.
To have the creativity of fixing things the way we can. There is not a perfect thing. It's not a perfect solution. We have this problem. Someone comes to me and said, hey, this is not working. Okay. And we, because I'm not the only one, improv has this team thing. Improv right. is a team. I work with other people. Of course, I ask questions. The third thing, everyone is going to tell me something, I'm going to ask questions. Mm-hmm. So what's the problem about? What is the condition? What time do you have? It's like, ask questions and make something about it.
Yeah.
Do anything. That's the first step for fixing things. Do something.
Yeah. That kind of struck something in me is I feel like another part of design is sometimes we feel like we have all these steps we have to do or like all these things we need to do before we can do something. Like we're like, oh, wait, before we do something, we need to gather more data or we need to do a wireframe or all the stuff. But sometimes you have to throw all that out the window and you just have to literally do something. And I feel like we do that in our everyday life. Like everyone was like, oh, wait, not yet. It's not time. We have to do these things before we can do the real thing. And it's like, no, just do it.
When I work with people, I understand the seniority that I don't like that word that much, but I understand the experience that people have with their attitude towards problems. A junior will try to make everything like the Bible says, or will try to approach it in a really maybe close way. This is the way this problem is going to fix. And I think when you have more experience, you know all the processes, you know all the words, you know, because you studied it, and you know, we know when you know. But when you are working, it doesn't matter. We are going to fix this. Okay, do this. Okay, great. Listo.
Yes.
Then you need to see the whole picture. Because if we are going to put ourselves to like invest a lot in this problem, maybe we are not seeing all the pictures. Like, fix it. And then try to understand why it happens, but you don't need to stop everything that we are doing to make a research because this thing is not working.
Yes.
Calm down.
Yes.
Understand the problem. If maybe we shouldn't fix it at all. Maybe it's not a problem even.
Maybe. Right. That's true.
Let's talk about it a little while, and then we can talk if it is a problem, if we need to fix just with a really quick, I don't know, modal input, whatever is really like small thing. And then we will say, but maybe because we then you test or you will see the metrics and you realize it's not a big deal. Okay.
Right.
So it wasn't a problem.
Great. No, well said. Yeah. I think this goes back to like kind of going with the flow, like trusting reality, like don't overthink it. Like take little steps. Things take time. Like you're going to get there. Everyone will get there. Just keep moving forward in some way.
And always listen to people that is really using your product, your service, whatever, because maybe for us, it's a big deal. And then when people are using your product is not.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right, right. Like, where did the problem stem from? Was it like someone that was randomly like, oh, this is a problem? Or is it actually from like data and people using the product and they're telling you it's a problem? Where is this coming from before you dive into it for sure? I have a question kind of going back to the job changing aspect of it. So for you, what would be like a like say that someone is like, oh, I want to do what Pochi does and keep changing jobs. And I really like that. Like, what would you say to someone in a, like, what would be bad about that? Where would you suggest not changing jobs? Or when is a time when it's not necessarily the best to like jump to a different job?
If there is a chance to you to grow some aspect of you in that position, mm-hmm. in that company, give it a chance. Because nothing is perfect. Not even a company is perfect. Always there is an issue, problems. That's a common thing because we are human beings.
Right.
Whenever it's like, I don't know how to say it. It's not like it's hurting you, but you are not having a really good time. Whenever it's a health issue, of course.
Right.
Stop it, change it, talk. You shouldn't be feeling that way. For me, it's a really important thing. Mental health is a really important thing. So if you are feeling overwhelmed, if you are not having a good time, talk to your friend, to your boss, wherever. It's really important to take care of your mental health. And most companies don't.
Right, totally.
So your mental health is completely important. So if a friend is having issues in his, her, their job, my first concern is their mental health. And then, but if they are having like a bad week or a bad project or something that could be, I don't know if it fixed the problem, but somehow it helps you to move away from your comfort zone, it helps a little. Maybe you are not having the best time of your life, but it helps. It helps you understand a new part of your role, or if you are understanding that, I don't know, UI is not your thing or UX is not your thing.
Right.
And if you can do something with that information, that's a good thing. You don't need to change jobs because something doesn't fit you or doesn't, I don't know. But that for me is a big difference.
Yeah.
You can learn from a lot of problems and things that your role, your everyday job gives you, and then you have your mental health.
Yeah.
And it's a really thin line. Because I don't know, work gets you, at least for me, because it's really important and I really like it.
Yeah.
So whenever I feel overwhelmed, I try to stop. I try to think or something else, try to go for a walk. I have these tools that time has given me.
Yeah.
So, but maybe the problem is not the other one, it's not the project. The problem is that I'm not in a well state of mind. I'm not
right.
good with myself. So I need to step back and think of something else. Or right. read a book, or watch a movie, or whatever that's working for me. And then when you come back to work, it wasn't that bad.
Right.
Making decisions when we are angry or sad is not a good thing. So in a rush of a heat moment, it's not a good idea to quit.
Well said. I Totally agree with everything. And I think it's like, I think it kind of goes back to our previous conversation that there's like the importance of having a good culture. Like you have to find a company that you feel comfortable with, that values you, that you get along with. Like that is so, so important. And that's going to help with your mental health, as I think that's like a really big piece of it. And like, if you found that, and there's something that's like you're struggling with or thinking about, it's like, I guess it's like reframing. So some of what we talked about improv, it's like, how can you reframe this? Like, what can you learn from this experience? How can you grow? And that's going to help you kind of make that decision of, okay, I'm in a great culture and maybe this is really hard, but things being hard is not bad. It's good to be challenged. Sometimes if it's in the right environment and mentally and everything, you feel good and you're being challenged and things aren't easy, then you're growing. And that's awesome. And it's hard. Sometimes it's awful, but it'll be worth it. Hopefully.
Maybe you understand that at that point in your life is useful for you. You are having a really bad time, but you know that you will learn this and then you will move on. Or maybe they change you for a different project, or maybe they move you to a different department, or things that will happen.
Right.
But for me, all of that is going to be useful if you talk to yourself, like, how am I doing with this? This is what I want. And then if you talk to others, that's for me the cultural thing. We need to talk. We need to say to our boss, to our leader, to, hey, this is going on. I'm going to tell you a story. Last
Please.
Year, my mother was sick, and I was and I wasn't ready for that. And the moment my mother told me, the first thing I did was talk to my boss, and I said, I'm crying right now. This is happening, and I really don't know what's going to happen. And they were awesome.
Yeah.
And it was so amazing. It's take your time. Doesn't matter. Anything's going to be okay. Your family first. Go with your mother.
Yeah.
My mother is perfect now. Everything is fine. But
Great.
At that moment,
yeah,
the way my coworkers made me feel, it was so important. And what I did was I called my best friend and I said, I really need to go to your home. Okay. And I sat there and we talked and nothing happened.
Right.
Like nothing important happened, but I really felt that I needed to do that.
Yeah.
Go to my best friend and talk to her and explain what was going on. It wasn't a long disease. It was like 2 or 3 months. I never stopped working. But the moment that my mother entered surgery, my whole team knew that. And they were completely okay with it. And then the next day I was working.
Right.
In my parents' house because they needed me. And
yeah.
I need to live besides work. And that balance sometimes is not easy to have.
Yes.
And I needed them to know that I was going through a rough time.
Right.
I don't know if my weight changed. I don't know if I was different, but I felt like more like calm if my coworkers knew, because maybe I could choose not to tell them, but I felt like they know that this
right.
is not a good time for me. That this is a really
right.
hard time.
Yeah.
I think in another moment of my life, I wouldn't. Because it's like, oh, they are going to think that I'm going crazy, that I'm going
right.
to quit, or I
right.
don't know. And it's not that. Your mental health, your family is important to you, and you need to talk.
Right.
And for me, that's a really new thing, because after pandemic, we start talking about mental health.
Yeah. I think that's powerful. Yes. I think your story is definitely like it's 2023. Like a lot has changed and the workspace, like we're all people. We all have lives and things and going on. And like, of course we have ideas of like how we should all be performing for ourselves and for our colleagues, but there's so many other factors that are involved. And if you don't feel comfortable sharing that with your team, your boss, then you're not in the right environment because you spend so much time at work. And if you don't feel that level of comfort in a job or a person or these people you spend all your time with, I feel like that's definitely going to lead to, you're going to leave eventually. Like you're not going to be able to stay there because it's going to add up. Like if you have are having a problem like family or whatever, and you can't speak to someone and they don't, and you can't tell them, hey, I'm probably not going to be as on as I usually am. Then they're going to be like, oh, this person isn't doing their job, but they don't even know all these things that are going on. And so it's like trickles. It's like this whole effect that happens if you don't have that trust in people and your
this
job.
This is like lack of communication or information that I'm not going to perform as well as I did because I'm having a rough time. And you should be able to say that.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing. We all have our bad days.
Yeah.
We all have our good weeks or bad weeks. And that's completely normal.
Right.
It's not a bad thing to have a headache. I don't know.
We're human, right? We're not robots. As much as we might, one day everything is turning into AI. Right now, today we are people. And we all have our problems. And we all have our days. And it's okay. And I like
and that's
to say,
really important.
Oh, yeah, go.
Communication for me is key because I have bad days. I get angry.
Right.
Sometimes I'm not listening properly, or maybe I said something that someone didn't get. And if a coworker comes and said, I didn't like this. Oh, I'm sorry. I won't do it again. That for me is gold.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of weird how like the history of the work environment is so backwards. It's like, you don't talk about things. You don't communicate clearly. You like kind of say, you don't get to the point. You're like, oh, I have to be careful, or I can't say this, or I can't do that, even though your first reaction is to do the exact opposite. Like, it doesn't really make sense. And I'm really happy that all of this is like happening now and we're able to build a better culture in our work environments, because it doesn't make any sense how it was.
No, it doesn't. We are humans, everyone is different. Maybe something that for me is not a big deal, for someone else is really harsh and is not prepared to listen. And it's a really tricky thing because someone has the right to say something and someone else has the right to feel weird with it. And that balance, it's really important, because if I said something that someone, I don't know, felt uncomfortable, I'm going to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to try to explain it. But I think I'm going to stop being myself. I'm going to try to do my best.
Right.
And that's for me, it's intention.
Yeah.
It's like, you are who you are, and you need to, it's like a puzzle. You have a shape, and everyone else has another one. We are going to try to put the pieces together the best way possible, but it's not the perfect form.
Right. No, I agree totally. I think it's like, I guess like kind of one of the last questions to ask as we kind of end this conversation is like, where do you see the work environment going, or where do you expect things to continue to improve on like this culture piece and going into jobs? Like where should companies go from here to continuously make their culture better for everyone?
That's really important. And I know that I'm blessed to have this job, because I know that I'm Argentinian, so I know that I'm really blessed. But life should come first. Your life, your health should come first, and work should balance with it. So I know myself enough to know that I don't work 8 hours straight, because it doesn't make sense. It's a lot. I can't have 8 interviews one after the other, because my brain would explode.
Yes.
So know yourself. That's why the communication is so important. The rest of the team should be clear with me, because they have to tell me what they need from me. And then I have to figure out how to do that and understand what is the best way to do it. So if 8 o'clock, I'm sharp as ever, and no one is working, doesn't matter. I'm going to be working at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. or 4 a.m. I don't know.
Right.
I really believe that the 9 to 6 working hours should end. Because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Then we can figure out how to arrange, a part of your day to have meetings.
Right.
And to be able to get to know your coworkers and talk and whatever. Because for me, it's really important to talk and to play games. It's really important for me. But 9 to 6 is like, why?
Right.
In my home. I really feel that my work most of the time is like a problem solver. I have to solve things. And if I don't feel like it, I'm not right.
Yes.
I'm not going to sit here in my computer waiting.
Right.
Okay, 8 o'clock, ciao.
Right.
No.
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense.
Yes.
If it's Saturday and if it's Monday, and if I don't know, if it's any part of the week or the day, arrange yourself the best way you know you work.
Yes.
For
yes.
Me, that's the key. But I know that I have done a lot of work with myself, and I know how I work.
Right.
I understand that not everyone is like that.
But I think that's powerful. I think, like, for the listeners of this podcast, it's like, what is your ideal work schedule? And we talked to, like, our team, the designers. It's like, when is, like, your on time? So, like, for instance, like, when I feel like I'm in my zone, it's like 11 to 2 or something, like 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. I feel like that's like, I'm not a morning person. I'm not a night person. I'm like a weird afternoon person. And so when I have something deep work, I'm going to do it at that time. And I'm going to rearrange my schedule because I know that that's what I do best. And I know, like, if I have to do some simple design work, I'm going to do it at like 6 p.m. after I'm done with everything, because my brain, I don't really need to have my brain on, or it's something simple and I can just like do it. And like, not everyone's the same, to your point, and you have to figure out what that looks like for you. And so I love what you said. I totally agree. I don't think you have to sit at your desk from like 9 to 6 every day, especially, what's the saying? It's like people get their best ideas in the shower. Like, I don't know, maybe you like showers and that's where your deep thinking is. Like, great, do that.
And that's great. Or maybe you have a family, you have kids.
Right.
Everyone's reality is different. And I think work should apply. It's not the other way around. We don't should apply to work. Work should apply to us and to our way of living.
Yes. Yes.
I'm also blessed because I don't have kids, right? So I can be working all day long. No one is going to come and talk to me. I'm hungry. It's
right.
Not happening. But
right.
Whenever I'm working with someone who has kids, it's like, oh my God, How on earth?
Yes. Yes.
Is it possible? You have another soul trying to get your attention while you are working. It's like, go talk to your kid. We talk later.
Right. Yes. They
this
get
is
to
not
make the
important
schedule.
anymore.
Right.
You should.
Yes.
Go talk to your kid. It's not
Yeah.
important. So for me, it's really, that's the key. The whole thing is going to function better whenever work apply to your job.
Yes.
I know that it's insane what you're saying, right? But
I love what you're saying. I believe in that. I like, let's take the lead and let's try to change the work hours. Like, I completely agree with everything you're saying. I think that's a great, like, future outlook. Like, how can we make our work fit into our schedule so that we are the most productive we can be in all aspects of our life, whatever we want to achieve? I think that's really powerful.
And I also believe that that will help us to do our stuff besides work.
And yes.
For your mental health, for your health in general, we should be able to do another things about, I don't know, if you like to dance, if you like to write, if anything is going to help you in any way. It's like, do another things.
Yeah.
Find out what makes you happy and go and try to do it.
Yes.
That for me is a really huge insight.
Well said. Well said, Pochi. Well, thank you so much for, I feel like we got really deep. I feel like we talked through like so many things, so many, like, I love
I
how the conversation, yeah, like the conversation went like, not just, we started talking about processes, design process, and we moved into like culture fit and improv and like life skills. And I mean, we ended with, yeah, like the future of work and how everyone should be thinking about work in a different way so that they have that balance in their life. So this was like very enlightening. So thank you so, so, so much for taking that time to chat with me.
It was amazing. I was like afraid because I don't talk in English as much as I did. So maybe I don't know if I speak correctly or...
Oh, your English was perfect. Oh my gosh, are you crazy? It was perfect. It was perfect. It was a
I'm
great
glad
interview.
I really had a wonderful time. I could keep talking hours.
I know, me too.
I'm
this
really
is...
comfortable.
me too. This is great. Well, yes, let's, like, I would love to touch base with you in the future and see how things have evolved and changed with you down the line as far as design and work and culture and all those things. So we will definitely stay in touch. And yeah, thank you so much. And we'll chat soon.
Thank you. Bye.